Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to 20 is our reading this morning. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Over the past several weeks, we have been considering what it is that we have. And the kicking off point has, of course, been out of Acts and Peter and John as they went into the temple that one day, and there was that beggar, that lame beggar, sitting there pleading and imploring them for a bit of coin in his cup. And Peter says, "Look at us." And the man gave him his attention. And to his utter disappointment initially, Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you." We've been looking at what is it that believers have. If we don't have an abundance of silver and gold, what is it that has come into our pockets, into our spiritual treasury, that far surpasses anything that this world could compare with? We have considered that believers have influence, and I know that rocks some of your boats a little bit much. We have considered how that we have the Holy Spirit. And here we come today to Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul once again uses a term that some of you may be uncomfortable with, that we have armor and that we are in a battle. We are called to fight. 2 Timothy, and some of the very last words undoubtedly that the Apostle Paul shared with anyone, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, "I have fought the fight. I have fought the fight." Now, the Apostle Paul, we know, at certain times had been absolutely on the run for his life. He had large stones that were hurled at him. He had felt the lash more than once. He had felt the rod more than once. He had been shipwrecked. He had to fight for his physical life. But that is not the fight that he is most especially thinking of here. Paul realized that there was a battle which was not perceived by our physical eyes, but with the eyes of faith. And Paul here, as he writes his parting words to Timothy, as he expects himself to be only a little while yet on this planet. He says, my testimony is that I have fought the fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. As a result, in accordance with how that I have walked and run and how that I have lived, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, to all who have joined the Lord's army, and who have taken up the weapons that are provided for us by our captain, that we might also enter into this battle, and that we, at the end of the day, might also be able to say, I have fought the good fight. Well, here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul helps us to understand the weapons that God has provided to us, and he calls the Ephesians, who he has known well, he has visited there, he has ministered for some weeks and months. He takes imagery that just about anyone in the ancient Roman world would be perfectly well acquainted with. Now, it's always a surprise to many people when they travel outside of North America. We have not been accustomed until fairly recently to see within our airports and certain places soldiers, some of them who you would think, have you shaved yet? Is that yet an experience that has been a part of your life? Young people who carry on their hip machine guns that would fill numerous people with holes in an instant. It's always an amazing thing. Well, here in the ancient world, soldiers were everywhere. There was ever the concern that the peace that Rome wanted to impose very strongly upon these conquered peoples, wherever they were, there were soldiers everywhere, and those soldiers, they were not just there for window dressing. They were there to do business. They were there, like those soldiers in the airports of Europe and elsewhere, who are there for a very specific purpose because of the threat. Well, Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, first of all, be strong in the Lord. He's about to sign off. He's talked to them about the church of Jesus Christ and how it is that we are to live according to God's dictates. And he has also inserted much good instruction on how we are to relate to one another. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, fathers and parents to children, and children to their parents, slaves to their masters. And he concludes, now here's what I especially want you to hear. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Previously, we have talked about influence, and we have said that you must understand that the influence is not something that comes from inside of us. We have talked about the Holy Spirit, and once again, the power of the Holy Spirit is not something that we drudge up from inside of us. It is something that is given of God. So here it is with the strength and the weaponry, the armor that God provides to us. It is not a strength that we drag up from inside of us, but we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Paul tells us we are to put on the armor of God. Now, we must note that all of the armor was to protect the frontal of the soldier, the front of the soldier. if the soldier turned their back to run, they were absolutely in a precarious situation. So the armor of God that Paul outlines here is for a standing, not for a fleeing, not for a retreat. It is to stand. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told his disciples, "I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus was saying that the church of Jesus Christ that he was going to establish was going to stand the very vicious and most hideous onslaughts of the devil. This is what is for each and every one of us, not simply as a corporate church, as a body, but also as individuals. Jesus would have us to stand firm. And that word schemes, that is absolutely bang on. It is absolutely the right word. For the devil does not come to us and say, "Now, let's carefully weigh the options and consider things. There are schemes." The devil would want to come around on our blind side, and he would want to attack us, not where we are strong, but where we are weak. He will want to tear at us. There are schemes that the devil will come at us with. Paul says, should anyone think, ancient world, modern world, that our struggle is against flesh and blood, Paul plainly says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against that which is far more devious, something that is far more sinister than anything your physical eyes has ever seen. Our struggle is, and there is a struggle, Paul would underline, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So once again, Paul says once again, take up the full armor of God. Don't be selective. Don't say, "Well, I like that one, and that one isn't too heavy." And he is saying, equip yourself. Be fully ready for the onslaught that will most certainly come against you. This evening we are going to have a believer's baptismal service, and it's always sort of a mixed feeling that I have as I come towards a baptismal service, for this very reason, is that when people have come to the point of being baptized, very often it's as though the devil takes note of that decision, of that surrender, of that step of discipleship. And very often, as I've warned those who have come to be baptized, be especially vigilant, be especially careful. Take to yourself at this time, if at any time, the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist. The devil takes note of those who are moving forward in faith, those who are moving forward in obedience. And the devil will want to tear at you. And I have often witnessed that those who are baptized following that, they struggle. There are dark days. There are days when it seems that the devil has no one else but them in his sights. Take up the full armor of God, the full armor, so that you will be able to resist. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, that Adam and Eve had been so wise. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, Paul says this second time, the full armor, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. There it is once again, that stand, not an edging away or a turning and a fleeing. Paul says, stand firm, therefore. And he starts to itemize the different parts of the armor. Now let's consider this. Having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Here, the torso, the main body part, is covered with truth and with that which is right. Paul says, you've got to have truth. Now, our world says truth is relative. Truth is up for grabs. Truth is something that we're never absolutely sure that we've reached. It's something that we faint-heartedly work towards. But as I see it, the world is working backwards. And they are receding from truth, even as Paul outlines in Romans chapter 1. They are going down a stairway that leads them into greater, ever greater darkness. Well, those who would want to stand, truth absolutely must be a part of their clothing and of their weaponry. And that which is right, righteousness, absolutely the outworking, that is, of truth, must be a part of them. But any warrior, especially in the ancient world, very few paved roads or such things. Verse 15 talks about having shod, having put on your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need to have something on your feet that you will be able to stand on uneven ground, where the ground seems to be treacherous and it seems to be shifting. What a picture that is of our day. The ground on which we stand is shifting, whereas we previously thought we knew what was true and that other people did as well. The ground, the very ground underneath us is shifting. We need to have our feet, something on our feet to protect them, that we are not eliminated from the fight. And Paul says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, any arrow is a dangerous one. But how much more those which are lit and those which are flaming even as they fly towards their target. Here is a scheme of the devil, how that he will want to steal, kill, and destroy, how that he will want to not just knock out, but that he will want to burn over any existence, any evidence of life that was there. Paul says, hold that shield of faith, which you can find a sure refuge behind. You need that shield. And Paul says, now you're going to need to protect your noggin. You need that helmet of salvation. Put it on and make sure it stays there. You need your head if you're going to go into battle. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We used to have sword drills as we searched the Scriptures very quickly for places where the Word of God speaks most especially into our hearts and lives. The Word of God is sharper, as Hebrews says, than any two-edged sword, dividing to the parting of soul and spirit. Well, here Paul, in like manner, He says, the Word of God, it is the sword. It is what we need in order to cut through anything that would come against us. Now, Paul isn't done. To wrap around all of this, you've got the person, man or woman, who is putting on this armor, and they are well equipped, and they have something in each of their hands. They've got that shield, they've got that sword. But there needs to be something at work deep within. There needs to be something that the Spirit is doing. With all prayer, Paul says, and petition, and he says, at all times. Paul instructs us to pray without ceasing. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, with this as your in your sights, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now, Paul was not so selfish as to just take this just for himself, but he's thinking of the wider body. As he, from jail, is writing to the Ephesians, his concern is not just for one Ephesian, but for all of the church of the Ephesians. And because Ephesus was such a strategic city there in what is now Western Turkey, Asia Minor at this time, Paul is concerned for the outworking of the gospel, how that it would spread from that vital center of Ephesus. Praying with all perseverance and petition. And Paul was not such a big man as to say, well, you know, pray for yourself. But Paul knew that he himself, though one of the most foremost leaders in all the history of the Christian church, and certainly one of the most incredible missionaries from the first century, a model, he says, pray on my behalf. Here he is in jail, confined, limited in his scope, limited in his influence, it would seem. But these letters, they carry more punch than perhaps any single verbal sermon has ever carried. And Paul is mighty as he asks these friends to pray for him, that utterance may be given to him in the opening of his mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Just about every Sunday morning we pray, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and workers for the gospel harvest, and as we pray for those who bear chains and those who are in authority, we pray for a boldness. And this is taken right from here, that as Paul prayed for a boldness to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, that it be sent forth in a manner as it ought to be proclaimed, and that is, that it be with a confidence. Paul said that he was an ambassador in chains. He was likely chained either to a guard or to the wall. He was behind locked doors as he writes Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Philemon. But he says, I am an ambassador in chains, an ambassador from the highest court that has ever existed to this world. And Paul says, pray on my behalf that as I open my mouth, I would have this boldness, this power to send it forth as it ought to be sent forth. Now, it's not only from Ephesians chapter 6 that we learn of how that we are to be vigilant, how that we are to take up the full armor of God. We could go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 10 and see there in verses 3 to 5 how that Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And Paul says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Paul knew what it was to do that very thing. And to the Ephesians, to the Corinthians, this is what he bids us. The Apostle Peter, in like manner, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, Peter, he says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Here we have the messages of hope of how that we are to walk according to the weaponry provided for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 12 and 13 give a final warning. Says, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, who will not bring a more vicious battle before you than what you are able to endure. But with the temptation, with the battle, will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Oh friend, take up the full armor of God and enter in to the Lord's army. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for how that you have divinely provided. You have so graciously provided us with the weapons that we need in this world. So Lord, may we be obedient to do your bidding and to walk in your ways. May there be men and women here who hear this word, be on the alert, be ready, take up. So Lord, may each of us do that very thing in praise of you and follow our commander, not against flesh and blood, but against those things that stand against you and against your word. So help us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.